And you were talking about seeing these lights.
Yes, the desert fires of the Bedouin popping up.
Wow.
Just
it was that the same trip?
Yeah. I wandered into a valley and it was littered with the back end fins of mortar rockets.
Of what?
Mortar rockets.
Oh.
Littered all over the ground. And I realized that the Jordanian army had been doing practice there. And I realized what I'd walked into, and there could be landmines. There could be unexploded ordnance all around. And I very carefully backed up for about 200 meters and went up a different valley. I rented a horse once in the Sinai. And I went riding this horse off. And I jumped down off the horse and was taking pictures and stuff and get back on the horse and riding around and jumped down taking more pictures and got back on. And when I got home, back to the horse stables, and I was talking with them, I said I kept seeing rocks around me with red triangles painted on them. And I said, I wondered what that was. You know what it was? A minefield.
The wind had blown the sand off.
I don't know. They were painted on rocks and things on the ground here and there. And so I was riding a horse, jumping off, taking pictures in a minefield, and I somehow made it out.
That would be enough not to give me sleep for days.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that had happened. When I told them about it, the eyes got as big as saucers. They said, "You're not supposed to go out that way." And I said, "Nobody told me I wasn't supposed to go there." That was from landmines left over from the Egypt-Israeli war in 1980. I took pictures. There were tanks. I remember seeing tanks turned over and stuff in the middle of the desert. That was quite something.
What these experiences give you, though, is a very rich life.
Mm-hmm. I already knew that by the time I reached 30 years old, I'd had more experiences than many people would have in their lives, and that I would be okay if I lived to 80 with nothing else happening. Maybe not okay. But I've been very aware. I mean, just as I'm sure you were by the end of the 1950s, aware of the unique experiences that you were having.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the luck you've had, and skill and tenacity to work in Guyana, and in Bhutan, and in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Extraordinary experiences.
Yeah, wonderful experiences. Just absolutely the most enriching things.
Even the year you spent in Australia.
Yeah.
That one too.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah. And you know, through all the arguments I had with Hillary, and the anger that grew more and more fierce in her, I realized that I couldn't stand up to her, that my quest in life was to find out who I was, and that I just, so when I first moved down to the cabin and Hillary thought I had left her, all I wanted to do was to try to heal my inside, some peace that didn't involve the arguments that were going on. And then, when I was trying to write about Vietnam, I realized the same thing. I was still searching for who the hell I was. Has that thought ever occurred to you?
Not in the same way. Many times I'm searching for how am I supposed to behave.
I wasn't aware of how I was supposed to behave. I simply was too preoccupied trying to find out who the hell I was.
Mm-hmm. I think I have a better idea of who I am.
Yeah, I think you do.
But I still struggle with knowing how I'm supposed to behave.
The peculiar thing about me is that I have never understood peer pressure. So I'm not asking questions like you're asking about how to behave. I simply had a goal and I followed the goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it certainly got me into some very peculiar situations, more difficult than I've ever dreamed of.
Yeah.
But I never found the answer.
Well, maybe in the next life.
Yeah.
My mother once said that she thought sometimes our tasks last more than one life. Mom once has said to me that she feels that sometimes the task we are given to figure out takes more than one lifetime.
Oh, I have had that feeling also. I agree entirely with that. And you know what I call it? The polishing of the spirit.
Yeah.
What you shirk in your life for laziness or evil or whatever wrong motive you have, you're going to be put in a situation where you have to cope with exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
That is what has governed my life from the very beginning. You see the job that is to be done, and you do that job. And being as dense as I was about how other people feel, I very often did the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't understand
my
impact.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't cover all of those holes in one life. It's not possible.
No.
So if you don't like Muslims, you probably will be born as a Muslim.
Yeah.
If you steal from someone, you will find out what it is like.
You're stealing from them.
To acquire things that are not yours. It's a kind of naivety to me. And every single time that we have to have our spirit polished some more because we have too many faults in us, there are other problems that crop up that you don't deal with properly. So I accept life, I think, in a way that sometimes overpowers me. And one of those is just exactly what you and I are going through here. The haste, the severity, the totality of it.
The humility or humbleness of it, the humbling of the life that you've led is very hard to bear.
Yeah.
And what I said to you yesterday What I said to you yesterday about this situation having to have been encountered billions of times already. That provides me a little bit of comfort.
Oh, reminds me of?
That provides me a little bit of comfort.
Yeah, well.
To know that this is not, I'm not blazing this trail, you are not blazing this trail.
No, you're not eternal. No. I'm not eternal.
No.
Nobody is.
Jennifer feels that pretty heavily, that as the firstborn, she was required to experience everything first. She's never liked that. At least that's what I understand her to feel.
I think the oldest person probably feels a tremendous burden.
To perform.
That's what I think.
I think so too. I'm pretty sure Owen feels it.
I look back on Brother Ulrich's life. And I really feel, I'm so glad I got out from under his clutches. He was the demon in my life, right up until the very end, when he told you that it was easy to make me cry.
I couldn't believe my ears.
Yeah. Well, he had his own battles to fight, because he was revered by both his mother and father in a way that put him up on a very lonely pedestal. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't fail.
Yeah.
So his drawings, it started out like Finn. He needed acceptance and love and acceptance and love. And getting more and more scared. That's why he had to be so mean to me. That's what I think.
Or that he wanted me to change the group picture so that his architecture could be in the background of the group picture.
Yeah, well.
That was quite funny.
But he wanted to control me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was comfort for him to get away with it. If I had even thought of hitting him, really smashing his face.
Yeah.
That's what I should have done.
Did you ever have physical fights?
Never.
Really?
No. You... All by word.
Oh, wow. You guys never wrestled or wrestled?
No.
And Hovar? Never?
No. The most mature thing that I ever said as a child was when Ulrich and I were sitting on each of our potties in the bathroom. I told you about this story?
So. I think so.
Well, I was 15 months younger than he was, and we were sitting back to back. And he said, "Kora." And I said, "No." He said, "Kora." I said, "No." And he said, "Du skal ikke snakke til du skal ikke si det til older people." And I turned around on my pot and I said, "You're not big either." That's the most mature comment I made in Norway. That's what I feel. If I had been able to keep that momentum up, I would have been all right. I can still remember that situation. And I must not have been much more than a year and a half, maybe two.
More than 80 years up here.
Yeah.